Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. In a world thrumming with joy and agony, sometimes the only thing you can do is pick up a pen. Fortunately, sometimes that's also the best thing you can do. Denise Turner offers a Geek Speak lecture at Black Hill State University this afternoon. She's the author of the memoir Worthy. She joins us now for a preview of her talk, Tasting Life Twice, on life writing and well-being. Denise Turner, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me, Lori. I'm tickled to be here.
Well, welcome back, because we talked to you. If listeners want to go online and hear the full conversation about your memoir, Worthy, we had that conversation before, so it's fabulous to have you back. Tasting Life Twice, that's Anais Nin, right?
Oh, it is, yes.
Tell me where you got interested in sort of the therapeutic forms of writing versus just writing as a nonfiction or memoirist or fiction author.
I'm so glad you asked that, because my interest in the research behind what happens in writing preceded my memoir by like at least 10 years. And it was because I was in my 30s, I was probably 35, and I was going through this huge emotional upheaval, and I didn't even understand it. I didn't understand that I was clinically depressed. All I knew that I was strung out and ready, I was throwing dishes, and I was an utter mess, and just completely infused with shame. I understood none of these things, but I had feelings. And that maybe if I just wrote about it, that would help. And the more I wrote about it, the more I would feel worse. And so I actually went back to school and started looking at the research behind writing and healing. Like, is this really a thing? And I started looking at, what is supposedly happening in the brain? Why do you feel worse before you feel better? And I think that research, I needed to know that before I actually started the memoir, which was 10 years later.
You needed to know the research before you trusted the process?
Well, it wasn't working.
Right.
I was like, shouldn't I be feeling better? I just feel worse.
Okay. Okay.
And so what I didn't understand was the way that this functions is you often feel worse before you feel better, and there are certain types of writing that will just make you feel worse. So it really matters how you decide to describe things that are troubling to you, or even if you just write as a general practice, there's helpful kinds of writing I learned, and there's really non-helpful kind that will make you ruminate more, that will make you more anxious. And so that was really good for me to know.
All right. So what's the writing that's going to make me feel worse? To avoid, go ahead.
The research, the kind of writing that you want to avoid is just venting, just being like, I'm angry at everybody, and these are all the things that are going on, and I'm just angry. What's interesting about that kind of writing, and this comes from James Pennebaker's research, is that it actually cooks up those emotions. So you actually might just be like overwhelmed. So that can make you feel worse. And just writing about a traumatic incident can make you feel worse. As you just describe what happened to you, that can also make you feel worse. So what Pennebaker noticed was for the writing to be something that was useful and helpful and actually helped pull people back was writing that not only described something that was troubling, it also added the emotion. So it added those two pieces together, like this happened, here's how I felt about it. And there's even a third piece, which comes from a different body of research, that really helpful writing also does, which is to say, what does this mean to me? How am I changed? Mm. And that kind of writing can be very powerful.
Give me an idea of when is the best time to write about, to utilize this, to put this into your life? Is it after a traumatic event, years later? Is it immediately? Do you go home at the end of the day and use this kind of writing to sort of process, challenges at work, challenges with your family, your money worries? Is this looking at a specific, This is a traumatic event that I remember, and now I'm going to use writing as part of the healing process.
Wow, terrific question. I think any time is the right time. If you're somebody who just, like, at some point in your day, like, you're a regular, like, journal writer. I actually, one of the things I love about my background is we were always encouraged to keep a journal. Mm-hmm. So I was, like, from seventh grade on, like, writing mostly trivial stuff about, you know, who's in love with who.
Right.
But this kind of writing, just as a psychological practice, you could just do it any time. One of the recommendations is not to write for over 20 minutes, and just for maybe 4 days in a row. That's Pennebaker's suggestion. But it really is up to you. I think your brain and body will let you know if it's too soon. I remember trying to write about my mother died in a house fire, and it was very traumatic. And I was like, well, I feel like I should write about that. And I realized it was too soon. Like, I would just sit there, and I was overwhelmed. I didn't even know where to start. And so I needed a little space first. But I think whenever you feel ready to do that, it's a good time. If there's something that's just been bugging you and you're like, I need some insight on that, what writing will allow you to do is step back a little bit and kind of see yourself as from a third-person observer, which is kind of nice because you have a little bit more perspective then, and you're not as overwhelmed by emotions. So when you can write out the scene, say how you felt about it, then even maybe make some conclusions like, well, you know, how has that shaped me as a person? You can do that anytime.
What about those folks who say, I can't write, I can't spell, I'm not a writer. What's your encouragement for them to sort of feel that they can create a safe place for them to talk to themselves and not worry about the critical eye?
I love those people because I was totally like somebody who was just trying this as a novice. I hadn't had any writing classes. What you want to shoot for, if you don't have any, like, you feel like you should be punctuating or spelling right, what you want to do is something that's called expressive writing. And expressive writing is just for you. Stephen King calls it closed door writing. Nobody gets to see it. No regard for punctuation. You may need to have run-on sentences. It may be that you have fragments and pictures, because sometimes traumatic memory comes to us in flashes. It's the way, because of the brain, the way the brain encodes traumatic memory, you might just have like flashes of visualization with emotion. And those are difficult. So you need to make sure that you have a place that is safe, that is personal, where you can be like, nobody will see this. This is totally private. And it wouldn't hurt. And this is something that I would recommend too, to have like a friend you can decompress with if you need to, or even a therapist. If you're dealing with something big, you might want to have somebody in the wings, because writing about things is difficult. I think I wrote the first sentence of my book when I needed to go like lay down because I was so sick. So it needs to be personal, it needs to be for you, it needs to break all the rules. You need to like get that inner critic off of your shoulder in any way you can do it.
Do you go back and read what you write? When do you go back and read what you write?
Oh, good question. I sometimes don't, because it's already done its work.
Right.
But I have gone back to read what I've written before to like see who that person was. I needed to do that for my memoir. Because I'm like, I think I was kind of sad back then. And so I opened like a diary, my diary from when my children were little. And I was stunned to find how depressed I was. Like, I couldn't even see it. I'm like, oh, I wrote that at the end of the day. And because I feel like I should just document things. And it's like, it's disturbing.
Right.
Actually.
I
look at those now.
Went to a writing workshop with Linda Hazelstrom at the Festival of Books in Deadwood just recently, and she talked about saving all your journals, and she has some that she duct tapes shut because she really doesn't want to revisit that part of her life, but she might someday. And I thought that was fascinating. Just wrap it up with duct tape and put it on your shelf. You can always cut into it later if you need to.
Right now, it's like, I don't need to revisit that person right now.
Exactly.
That's a terrific strategy. Yeah, mine are in boxes.
Yeah.
Somewhere that are hard to get to.
Well, then there's some people who are listening who say, but maybe I want to tell that story someday. And you did. You told your story in a very compelling way. How do you use your journal to then seed the future garden of writing that you might have? How do you turn your life writing into art?
Oh, wow. So many things to say about that. Yeah. I think that you sit down in the moment and start telling that story. And then if you want to like look at that person you were then or look at that struggle, then it's sort of like, okay, I'm going to peer in to where I was at that moment. But you're going to have perspective since you wrote that stuff. And so I guess what I would advise there is start your writing from where you are in this moment in your chair. And then, because otherwise, if you get back in those journals, they will tug you into a whole different place. Mm. So I would use those as a reference, but not look at them and think, oh, I've got to start from like September 12th because, you know, I think they might get in your way. I think they're good as a reference, but not as because you're going to be a different person. And I think starting from where you're at is really valuable.
How important is being honest on the page with your life writing, with your journaling?
I think being honest is so huge because one of the things I wanted to do, and I think that it's really human to want to do, is make yourself into the hero of your own story.
Right.
But we're conflicted people and we're problematic people. And so one of the things you could do is try to flesh out yourself as best you can and try to laugh at your own foibles. Honesty is difficult because we're terrible as humans at being objective because it's so impossible to be objective about your own experience, right? It's like, no, I'm seeing everything from my point of view. And there are places where you just need to tell your story from where you're at, like especially if it's traumatic.
Right.
I don't think, you know, if you've been, you know, molested or something, you don't want to stop and perspective take. You need to, like, just, you know, look inside yourself and see, you know, how you can weave that into a bigger story about who you are and what you're capable of doing.
Mm. And get a little bit of help on the way, too, maybe.
Absolutely.
Denise Turner, our time is short, so I'm going to say thank you and tell folks you can go see Denise's Geek Speak lecture at Black Hill State this afternoon. That is at 4 o'clock. Denise, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Lori.